Cook is, there's really nothing like it in the world. It's sometimes I feel like I read something in Rav Cook and I have no idea what he's talking about, but at the same time I feel like I get it. Like sometimes I can't understand it rationally, but at the same time he describes an experience that I sense is very, very real. It's something that I can't really describe because I don't feel this with any other mechaber. There's no other author in the world that I feel this. Like I either understand what it's saying or I don't understand what it's saying. So today's piska is one of those examples. We're going to read it, and I'll try to explain it. You know, la'aniyus da'ati the best I can. I don't know how rational it's going to be to you. At the same time, something in me. It connects to this in such an incredible way, in such a profound way. Like I sense when I sit in the Beis Medrash and do this, I feel like I have some negiah to this. And I feel that it's real, even though with my brain, with the words that I'm using, I don't know if I'll be able to explain it. So let's try. I'll try to use mishalim. I'll try to bring it down as much as I can. Yesod Torah Lishma. This is Beis Piska Vav. Yesod Torah Lishma, hu hagbaras kocha shel Knesset Yisrael, hanimtzes genuza bekirbenu. He begins with the yesod that we've seen in the past, which is that Torah Lishma means a strengthening of the koach of Knesset Yisrael, of the Jewish people as a whole. Hanimtzes genuza bekirbenu, that we all have a hidden chelek in. Just to reiterate what we've done in the past, we've seen this in the last few piskaot, that the Jewish people are divided in their gufim, but they're not divided in their neshama. In fact, it's possible to talk about one entity that's called Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is a spiritual entity that happens to exist in a prat, in an individual, in your guf. But what's hidden beneath that goof is not an individual neshama, but there's a national neshama called Knesset Yisrael. And as a result, we're all linked. Beneath the surface, we're all linked. And let me just tell you one thing I heard in the name of the Bris Kerov that really demonstrates this. It just came to mind now. He said, the Bris Kerov said, a lot of people, why is it that so many non-from Jews come to shul on Yom Kippur? Anyone have a reason for that? Why do so many non-from Jews show up on Yom Kippur? So everyone thinks what? What's the Bala Batish answer?
So they can get kapara for everything.
Because it's the days of awe. It's such an awesome day, and they realize that this is much more important than Shabbos, which, by the way, isn't even true. I don't think it's more. People think Shabbaton is more important than. I once heard Rav Schachter say that's totally false. But in any case, people feel the gravity of the day, they feel the severity, and they want to be a part of it. The Bris Kerov said something very different. He said the reason that so many non-frum Jews show up on Yom Kippur is because there are so many frum Jews that take it seriously. Because there are so many from Jews who come to shul all year long, but they're talking and they're doing this and they're not really thinking about their davening. And all of a sudden on Yom Kippur, they feel that need to get the vidui book. You know? All of a sudden they feel a need, oh, today I have to be for real. So, and that emanates outward. It's like a ripple effect. And the non-from feel that. That's what they feel. It's not they're directly feeling the Yom Kippur is more severe. They feel that pull to the shul on Yom Kippur because we take it more seriously. The Bris Kerov was trying to give Musa. What was he trying to say?
Take every Shabbos.
That if every Shabbos and every tefillah and every word of Torah we did with the same Islamos, we could make a national revolution. We have it in our hands. So this is mamash what Rav Cook is saying. It's a total misconception to think that you're living your life and I'm living my life. When I learn a word of Torah, let's bring it back to here. What I'm doing is I'm not just strengthening my personal neshama. I'm actually turning up the intensity of the national neshama of the Jewish people. In other words, I can affect Jews all over the world in this manner. Every time we come up with a new definition in Torah, you're sitting with your charusa and you understood something, you understood the Ve'im Taimar of the Tosfos. So what did you just do? You just strengthened Torah in this world. You gave it a new makom in your brain. You just gave a new makom for Torah in this world. So what have essentially have you done? Hinenu migadlim es kolcha. We've strengthened the entity called Torah. Varenu magdilim es haTorah atzma. We've actually offered a new strength, a greater standing for Torah in this world. Shehi ruchnias hachaim hamitim shel Knesset Yisrael. And that is the source of spiritual life for the Jewish people. The Torah is the source of our spiritual lives. Do you know what the word Yisrael stands for? There are many Rashi Tevos and Ramazim. One of the Ramazim for Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. It's not exactly 600,000 the Mefarshim deal with. It's not really like that. The question is how they count it. But the concept of Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah, there's 600,000 letters in the Torah. What's the significance of that? What's the significance of that number?
600,000 nefashos.
There's 600,000 nefashos, and every nefesh has a letter in Torah. What does that mean on the symbolic level? That's where our chiyus, our ruchnius comes from. That we don't need to generate our own spiritual chiyus. That flame, that drive to do mitzvos and to be kadosh yidden, we don't need to generate that. It's the warmth and the flame of it's the warmth and the light of a flame that already exists. It's in the Eish HaTorah. The Torah is a flame, and we're gaining, we're benefiting from the energy that's emanating from that flame. So the Torah is like an Eish, and each neshama is being warmed and brightened by that Eish. So what happens when we're learning Torah? It's like we have a hand on the gas button, and we can actually turn up the intensity of that flame. And then he continues and says, Hatzfuna banu, v'chavuya b'chol haTorah kula, u'v'chol prat mi prateha. This flame of Torah is hidden in kol haTorah kula. This flame of Torah is beneath the surface, in Torah itself. Meaning Torah is somewhat misleading. You think you spoke about today. What are you guys doing? What sug are you guys up to? We did Michal Yakarna. What did you do? Shor Hamuad. And what did Shana Bet? What did you guys do today?
Not sure.
What? Oh, you're not even sure. Okay, so whatever you guys did. So we have, you thought you were dealing with Shane or Muad, etc. That's really just scratching the surface of this keg of energy. It's like there's a whole keg of energy in there. And by us being Osek B'Torah, we're turning up the energy. Uvechol prat mi prateha. What does that mean? It's not only in Kol HaTorah Kula as a whole. Anyone have a sefer for a binyamin? It's not just in Kol HaTorah Kula, but it's also found in every prat mi prateha. Hidden. In other words, you don't have to finish the Torah in order to strengthen Torah in this world. You don't have to get to the Lamed of Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Every single prat has within it the light of Kol HaTorah Kula. Every single prat of Torah has within it the same light, the same Kedusha that Kol HaTorah Kula has. It was this Keta on Rav Kook was once explained to me. It's think about it like the DNA of a person. In the DNA of your hair, if you take a cell out of your hair and you look at the DNA, what does it have? It has the color of your eyes and it has all the information that it needs that you need to make you. So it's got the color of your eyes and how fast your toenails grow and how many hairs are in your inner ear canal. It's all in there. You take one thing out of your body and it contains everything. So that's a mashal for the Torah. In every single prat of Torah, you have the kedusha shel kol haTorah kula. You have the same kedusha that kol haTorah kula has. In other words, God can't be broken up. There's no such thing as taking a piece of God, right? So when the Zohar says that Hashem and Oraisa kula chag, you familiar with that Zohar? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'Oraisa chag hem. God and the Torah are one. The Zohar is saying much more than just the Torah kula. The entirety of Torah is oneness with God. What else is the Zohar saying according to Rav Kook? That you take out a letter and you look at the Rashi on that letter, or you take out a tag, a crown, or you take a gzera sakasilu vier bisdei acher, and you spend 3 weeks on that, you've also attached yourself to the kedusha shel kol haTorah kula. That's one of the reasons I learned this sefer. I think this is one of the most basic svar that a guy should learn in yeshiva, is because it totally transforms the whole understanding of what we're doing. How many times have you wondered during Seder, why are we doing this? There's so many halachos out there I don't know. Why aren't we doing Hilchos Shabbos V'Iyah or Hilchos Kashrus? Let's do something that's a little more practical. But what Rav Kook is doing, he's shifting the focus. The Talmud Torah experience is not, we have life and we have an instruction book for life and you have to know how to live, so let's do it. It's Torah isn't functional. You understand? Limud Torah isn't serving a function of so that you know it, so that you know how to live. This is where the Ribono Shel Olam is found in this world. He has descended into Torah. He's given it to us as a gift. And we don't need, in order to attach ourselves to the ultimate dveikus of God, you don't have to finish, and you don't have to encompass everything. You don't have to know it all. You take out one prat. I really think that when the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, Im hayu b'nei adam margishim, he was talking about this. You know what I'm talking about? The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh? No, this time I mean it, though. What does the Aruch Chaim say? Im hayu b'nei adam margishim es mesikus haTorah. So what would they do? Hayu mislahatim achareha. And money and silver, people wouldn't care about anything. Just give me another word of Torah. I think it's all about this. If we understood that in every prat of Torah, there's the DNA, there's the klal, the Torah in its entirety, is found in this one prat. Why do I say that I experienced this? Because guys who know me, so they know that sometimes I'll say, this is the most awesome sugar, this is the most awesome mahalach. And it's really true. I really, this is the most awesome mahalach. This is the most beautiful sugar. Because if everything has everything, every detail has everything, it's just like another way of looking at the most beautiful diamond. You're looking at it from this side, from that side. If all you see here is the Avne Zikin of Shein, then you can say, this sugyana, this sugyanana. You're familiar with that Mishnah Pirkei Avos? Le'olam lo yomar adam sugya zuna, v'sugya zuna. You have to be very careful never to say, I don't like this sugya. It's a Mishnah, I believe it's in Pirkei Avos. If not, it's in Bracha somewhere, look it up. Le'olam lo yomar adam sugya zuna, v'sugya zuna. You're never supposed to compare sugyas. You're never supposed to say, oh, I love this pair. I didn't, or maybe that you can say. You can say, I love this pair, but you're never supposed to say, Perek Sheni, I didn't like so much. Perek Shlishi, I enjoyed. Why aren't you supposed to say that? You ever think, like, what's wrong with saying that? What's wrong with saying that this gave you a specific geschmack? I think that the lumdus, the svara behind it, is what Rav Kook is saying here. Because it really means that your relationship with Torah is just on the outside, it's just about the information. It's like a physics book. I liked chapter 2, I didn't like chapter 3 so much, I was more into this chapter. When you realize that every single detail on the surface of Torah is a bridge into Kol haTorah Kula, that you're really being exposed to all the light in its entirety. So what does that mean? Sugya zu na'a, sugya zu lo na'a. What does that mean? That means you have a warped perception of what you're doing. He's trying to deepen our understanding of what we're doing. A similar ideas in Beis Zion, this will wrap up the parak. Ikar lima tara lishma, eif shar lavo kima yedei hechshar zeh, shol havana v'argashah ba'ima. The only way to really learn tara lishma is to attain, you have to attain the following understanding about Torah. You can't learn Torah Lishma unless you understand the following. This is obviously going to be huge. This may be the most important ket on the whole book. Because you can't learn Torah Lishma without the following understanding. What is it? Ech kol prate Torah chavivim chibas kodesh. What does that mean? How every single detail in Torah is chaviv. It is beloved with the love of Kedusha. I have to love the sugya of Shane, the sugya of Shane Varegel, Patir Bishus HaRabim. I have to love that the same way I love Kedusha. Chavivim Chibas Kodesh. Ve'ech Ha'or HaKlali. And you also must understand how the general light, we'll try to bring this down in a minute, just translate, the general light, Hamale Chaim Umevi Chaim La'olam, the general life which is full of life and which brings life to the world, mispaleshu, penetrates b'chol hapratim kulam. It penetrates every single individual detail of the law. What do you think he means, the or haklali? What does he mean, the or haklali? The general life. What's the general life?
Stammering. Huh? Stammering.
What do you mean stammering? You must understand how the general light penetrates every single one of the pratim. What's the general light? I think he means the light of God. The general means, just like God can't be divided up, so too the light of that has descended into Torah, that's his light. That's the Zohar, Oraisa v'kutsha b'richu chan. So there's an or haklali. Just like God cannot be divisible, so too his light that entered the world, that entered Torah, cannot be broken up. So what light are you coming into contact with when you learn that one prat? You're not just coming into contact with a part of the light. It's not just you're attaching yourself to part of the light. You're having the most intimate connection with God. There's no greater debekus. It blows the mind. There's no greater Devekas, because the Or HaKlali can't be divided up. It's not like you're getting a piece of the light. It's not like you're biting off a piece of the schnitzel. The Or HaKlali can't be broken up. So in every prat, you're actually having this intimate rendezvous with God himself. He's in there. He's there. This reminds me of the Ramban at the beginning of the Ramban in his Hakdama LaTorah, I believe he quotes the Zohar. Not the Zohar, he says, it's also in Zohar, the Kol HaTorah Kula are Shemosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mentioned this to my shir a few days ago, that the entire Torah Kula, it's a Shem Hashem. Just like you have a Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you have another Shem Elokim, and you have another Shem Shakai and Tzavokos. So there's another name, a really, really long name that takes a very long time to pronounce it. But if you put all the words together without the spaces, if you put them all together, the Torah from the Beis of Bereshis to Le'enei Kol Yisrael, that's one long name of God. What's the idea behind that? What's the idea behind the Torah being a name of God? I think it's about this Yisrael. The Torah isn't information about how to live. The Torah itself is the vehicle through which we reach the Ribono Shel Olam. And just like in the name of God, every os has Kedusha. Are you allowed to erase the hay of Yud Kei Vav Kei? There's an Isra of Mechika Hashem Hashem, right? But are you allowed to erase the hay? You can't, because that also has the Kedusha of the Shem. The Kedusha of the Shem rests on all four letters. So too the Kedushas HaTorah rests equally on each and every letter. So you could spend 4 hours talking about one extra vav and you're really attaching yourself and immersing yourself in the Kedusha Shel Kol HaTorah. There's no such thing as just taking a bite out of the life. It's an incredible opportunity we have, Chevra, that is it. What we're doing every day is really just scratching the surface of what's really happening. I just literally, just a few minutes ago with Yaakov, we saw this from Nachman, that even the Torah, people think they understand the world. Do scientists really understand the world? They themselves, they say, we don't know how this happened. They talk about how the solar system was created. So there's a video on YouTube that I happen to run into, where there's some girl, this is like she's 19, literally. I'm going to tell you how the solar system was created. And she starts talking about this mass, and like over her shoulder you see like this mass. And then as she describes, you know, the mass, you know, like it's acted out over her shoulder. And she says, and the mass, for some reason, started to spin, and then started spinning really fast. And she just skips over those words for some reason. She says them really fast. For some reason, it just started spinning, and then it started spinning so fast that it formed like this disc. So now it's not a mass anymore. Now it's a disc. And then it really, really sped up, and the disc flew out into rings, and then the rings made planets. So Shkoy, did she help me? Did she understand me, or she gave me a bigger tzarach here? She thought that she was helping me, but in truth, now it's a bigger tzarach. What do you mean for some? What did you say? For some, out of the blue, you had a mass that started spinning? So scientists are just scratching the surface. So Rav Nachman Breslov says, even Torah is like that. Even Torah, you think you really know what you're doing when you're talking about Shein Berego, Pater Vishus Harabim? There's an Orach Kali that you're coming into touch with, that you're immersing yourself with, and it's all there, and it's an experience. If only you knew that this is the Or HaChayim, this is it. Imayu b'nei Adam margishim. If we felt what was happening when we were doing this, I hate to say, your parents would hate the yeshiva. No one would want to go to college. You would just close your off. You would be so antisocial. I think there's a reason that God hid it. There's a reason that God hid this light. Because God does want us to be in the physical world. And He wants us to go out to make a living. And He wants us to do mitzvahs. And He wants us to be mentioned and be, you know, interact socially. So I think God hid this very much the way He hid Moshe's face, so that the people would be able to interact with Him. But in truth, you can't lose sight of this. Imayu b'nei Adam margishim, if they knew what was going on, that's all they would want to do in life. Halavai Shanuzke.
Did you say Yisrael stood for? You said before, the remnants for Yisrael, what does it stand for?
Oh, Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. Wait, so just remind me, are you in Shanahan or no? You're,
no.
You're in college.
No, I'm here.
What are you doing?
I'm my fourth year here.
Fourth, right.
Yeah.
So what are you?
I'm with the Army this March.
Are you really?
Yeah. Like my family lives here. I mean, I'll be out when I was 11.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
What's your name again? I'm
Alicia.
Sorry. Alicia what?
Around the world.
Oh, okay. So where are they living?
At Pratt.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're going to the Army in March.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to do it. Do you like,